So the lecture today is on Chapter 11, Web-Based and Interorganizational Decision Support Systems. In the past 6 years, quite a few things have changed, so I want to update some of the material from the book, and the slideshow does that. And then there are three columns at dssresources.com that I recommend to you. Not so much that you'll be tested over them, but this is a very important area. So you want to make sure that you have fairly current knowledge. Recently I wrote a column on the benefits of interorganizational DSS. So if you look for what are the benefits of interorganizational DSS, you can look at a more recent discussion of the business benefits. One of the columns that I assigned you to read for today is what software tools should be used to build web-based DSS, and this column goes over the LAMP technologies. As I note in the column, it says, in 1996, I would have said use Perl and static HTML with an Apache web server to create web-based DSS. By 2008, my tendency is to recommend that you use the LAMP technologies. And that refers to Linux, and you'll see it pronounced Linux or Linux, named after Linus Torvalds, who was the initial developer of it. It's a Unix-type operating system, so it was developed independently of Unix, but it has a lot of the same functionality. It is available under the new general public license. So you can see the source code, and there's a big open source developer community. Then Apache, which has been around for about 13 years now, and it's the most widely used server technology, much more so than Microsoft's Internet Information Server, IIS. And then an open source database, MySQL, and MySQL was recently purchased by Sun Microsystems, so it will stay as an open source product. Some of you are doing projects with MySQL and PHP. MySQL is more like the enterprise databases like Oracle than it is the desktop database like Access. So you can certainly issue SQL queries, and we don't have tools like Query by Example with server-based database. And then PHP, which is a general purpose scripting language, and today we say PHP stands for PHP Hypertext Preprocessor. So PHP is PHP Hypertext Preprocessor. It used to be Pretty Home Pages or something like that is what it was initially, what it initially stood for, because it was a very limited markup for doing web pages. But PHP does involve using an application that runs on the Apache server, and you can find out more at php.net. In general, if you're going to build something today as a web-based DSS, I'd look first at the open source community just because of your lower costs of operation. The third article is How Will Web 2.0 Impact Design and Development of Decision Support Systems? Web 2.0 is just coming into play now. In the late 1960s, we started with DSS 1.0. Those were the time-sharing systems. Then we moved to mini-computers in the mid-70s. Then personal computers and tools like VisiCalc in early 1980s, 1981, 84, 85. Then the fourth generation languages and DB2s in the late 1980s, client server technology starting about 1989, large scale data warehouses and OLAP servers, and then the web technology starting about 1995, 1996. Web 1.0 was more static content, and today Web 2.0 is dynamic content. Some people think that Web 2.0 is all hype, and this article has some examples there. There is an interesting YouTube video that I recommend to you. It's called Web 2.0, The Machine is Using Us, or The Machine is Us. And it goes over some of the technologies and some of the applications that are Web 2.0. I suggest you read that. A tool that, as a developer, you'll need to be familiar with is Ajax. And Ajax refers to JavaScript as well as XML. And a lot of the dynamic content on web pages uses that, as well as style sheets, CSS. Okay, web-based and inter-organizational DSS. When we can use the Internet and World Wide Web, we can extend who has access to a decision support system, and we can build a wider range of decision support systems that might have been hard to deploy in the past. So reach refers to especially remote users across the Internet, in global multinational organizations, and range is the kind of functionality that we make available in our decision support systems. We can do more with integrated decision support systems. We can do more with knowledge-driven decision support systems because of the web as a delivery platform. You should remember the web-based applications that we've looked at so far in the case studies. We looked at the system based on ECSIS at Pennsylvania Department of Labor. That was a web-based, knowledge-driven DSS. You looked at the Anderson-Clayton web-based, data-driven DSS. Most of our communications-driven DSS are web-based today. So web-based is the common deployment technology for computerized decision support systems. It allows us to distribute the decision support applications across multiple servers and to users that are deployed at remote locations. It uses TCP/IP and web server software like Apache. And TCP/IP refers to Transfer Control Protocol, Internet Protocol, and that's what allows us to exchange packets between a server and a client so that we can deliver web pages and dynamic content. Interorganizational DSS, the idea is that we want to supply decision support functionality to users who are outside of the traditional boundary of the organization. So it may be a customer, it may be a supplier, it may be our banker, it may be stockholders or shareholders who we wouldn't normally provide access to decision support, but for one reason or another we decide that there's a functionality that we can provide that they will benefit from. Common is shared access to company data. In Chapter 2 of the Decision Support Systems book, you may remember the example from Walmart on forecasting and replenishment, where big suppliers like Procter & Gamble have access to the data from the Walmart databases, so they can see how much is available in the warehouses and how quickly toothpaste is selling in Walmart stores in a region. And the idea of forecasting and replenishment is that the suppliers would access the data so that they wouldn't run out in the warehouse or in the stores. There would always be an adequate supply on hand because the supplier would have access to how quickly product is selling. Most of the time today we do deliver interorganizational and over the Internet as web-based DSS. If we need more security, rather than using a private network, we'd use a tool like Citrix, which creates a secure socket layer type connection with the web server. It wasn't too many years ago that we looked at the web as a way to aggregate content and to integrate our information applications. We still tend to do that. We don't use the term portal quite as much as we did, but the idea of a portal was that you'd have one piece of software that would serve as the front end to all of the applications in the organization. Many of you are familiar with the My Universe application, where you have access to a lot of different technologies related to being a student or a faculty member. And lots of organizations, like universities, have portal technologies so that you get a single sign-on to the application, and then you get to access the other tools that are through that portal. The portal can be a way to allow internal access or access from external stakeholders. But the idea is that, if possible, we allow one username and password to access multiple applications, and they have a common look and feel. And what we do is that database controls what applications you have access to, as well as what data. Slide 5.3 shows a very simplified web-based decision support system architecture. And we've been talking about architecture since Chapter 1, where you saw the general decision support architecture. Here, the user interface is the browser, so a thin client. The web server is the focus for all of the inquiries that we make to the application. And through the web server, we may serve static HTML pages, PDF documents, dynamic HTML that's coming from a database. We may have scripts that are served, and we may have models that are served through the web server. So it's an aggregation point, and it sends content to the thin client that's running in on your PC. The chapter goes over some tools. Some of these are not used as much now in 2008 as they were at the time of the book. And that's one reason you should look at Web 2.0 and familiarize yourself with some of the new tools like AJAX. HTML, it looks like we're finally going to get a new version of HTML coming out. Their pre-release of some of the specifications, but they've decided to make a more modest change to hypertext markup language, so we don't have to redo all the pages. Things are going to be more incremental. XML was first introduced in 1999. It hasn't caught on quite as much as people thought, and part of the idea of the semantic web was to try to convert everything to XML, and that's just not going to happen anytime soon. Common Gateway Interface, a tool for delivering dynamic content that we oftentimes call CGI, and we'll still have CGI bin if you're familiar at all with an Apache application server. We run certain applications out of either CGI bin or CGI local, and that's a place where Common Gateway Interface scripts or programs run. And those are still most commonly written in a language called Perl, or in Python, or in C, okay, rather than a scripting language. And then Java is a software development package. It's developed by Sun Microsystems, and Java is actually a programming language, but it's a modern web-oriented programming language, and when we use Java with web pages, we have to have a Java engine that's operational on the client machine. So you have to have Java enabled on your machine if you want to run Java applets. An applet just means it's a small application running in your browser. Then JavaScript, some of you are starting to do some things like with JavaScript. JavaScript is, quote, a scripting language that is embedded in web pages or that you bring into the web page with an include statement. ActiveX is a Microsoft-centric scripting language. Microsoft Access and Excel can also be used for web-based DSS, but Excel is certainly easier to use than Access. And then tools like Cold Fusion or PHP markup tools. I'm just going to turn it off. Well, A big part of the challenge is to manage web-based DSS. And the chapter talks about some of the issues that you want to be concerned about. They're business issues, so we have to think about the ownership of our data and who we can share it with and what kind of permissions we need. Some technical issues, we need to figure out how to involve partners if we're going to use a web-based DSS as an interorganizational DSS. And then we might want to look at some other legal issues. So please do take a look at that. The chapter has some examples of interorganizational DSS, and the column that I pointed out to you also has some. So that column, again, was called Benefits of Interorganizational DSS, and some of the examples in the column were Walmart and Target. Experian created an application called Contractor Check. Principal Financial Group has a web-based tool for their people who are making healthcare choices. Walmart has a Medicare Part D decision tool. But there are lots of web-based interorganizational DSS, and you can find those examples at many sites today. I want to show you some screenshots from a tool from Cognos. Cognos was recently purchased by IBM, and a product that they have is called Impromptu, and they use a tool called Query Then Navigate. This interface has improved a little bit from these screenshots. Again, sign on, and here to add some additional security that you have to pick the data viewer, so what data you're going to actually be able to have access to, and they can control at the row level, if they want to, data that an individual would have access to. The menu for Impromptu looks a lot like the kind of menu that you'd see in an old-fashioned version of the Microsoft Explorer. They tried to imitate the file structure that we used to have in the Windows desktop. These are all queries that have been pre-established. Again, if you look at that and you think of Microsoft Access, it's a similar kind of hierarchical structure for queries as you'd find in a desktop database, but here it's a web-based database. The first screen that comes up is from a customer query, and what happens is that the query puts in a hyperlink under orders in the very far column on slide 12 that would take you to additional detail information. So that's the kind of tool that they use to minimize the amount of information on a given page. Basically, they embed hyperlinks in the data display tables. So we can go look at the detail on the Alfred's Futterkist order, and we pull it up and we see that the order IDs, the order date, the freight, and then we can get more details on the sales rep or the customers with additional drill down queries. And so drill down is facilitated to the more detailed records in the database. And these queries are created dynamically so that we run the query as you click on the hyperlink. So performance depends a lot on how powerful our server is. This is a different tool from ComShare, and it's a little more graphical with pull-down menus. It's called DecisionWeb. Internativity DB Probe, this is a Java applet. And one thing you can see right away with Java is that we can have a rich client interface, which is part of Web 2.0. So we have some icons up at the top of our application window. So if we want to, say, change the display from a table, which you see in slide 15, to a pie chart or a bar chart, all we have to do is click on those icons that is in the command line for DB Probe. Pilot Internet Publisher, this first came out in 1999. Pilot was one of the early decision support, data-driven decision support vendors, and the company went bankrupt and they tried to reestablish it. They've got a mix of both existing queries, so you see the mix analysis, trend analysis, and then on a given display, you can still use pull-down menus for a weekly trend or what the measure is, net sales, and then the view store. But it's not an attractive display, and Pilot didn't really make a major impact in the market. We've had a lot of consolidation. Oracle made a big purchase of data-driven vendors. IBM did. SAP purchased Business Objects. So the three big web-based data-driven development environments, Hyperion, Oracle, Hyperion, Cognos, and Business Objects have all been purchased. The only independent standalone one is still MicroStrategy, which is out in Virginia, and that's the only standalone vendor that's really left that has a significant market share. TCBWorks, this is a pretty obsolete package now, so we're going to skip slide 17. Some more examples, and these are all discussed in the chapter. A Bell Canada example, and that's a web-based data-driven DSS. The Walmart suppliers, that's the forecasting and replenishment. Electronic Data Systems, knowledge management, that's the Pennsylvania Department of Labor. Society General is a data-driven DSS, and so is Hannaford Brothers. The chapter goes over an example of a model-driven, interorganizational, web-based DSS, and it's Artisan's Virtual Power Lab. And the idea was that they'd give customers access to graphical tools for developing products, so they'd get more customer involvement in product design, and they'd be able to do that over the web. And then we just looked at the Cognos Imprompto tool, which is a development environment, but it's fairly quick to deploy. At DSS Resources, there are a number of JavaScript decision aids. One of them is the cost-benefit analysis aid that is described in the chapter and is on slide 20. What happens is the spinner buttons, the up and down arrows, allow you to adjust the discount rate, and then you can put in direct, indirect costs and direct and indirect benefits. And I believe it's for up to 10 years of data. And with discounting, anything beyond 10 years, pretty much all those contributions and costs go away because of the nature of present value. So you can try those out on the website if you want to look at some web-based decision aids. And a decision aid is a smaller scope program than a decision support system. So these are much more limited applications, but we often see those at web-based at websites. So the advantages and disadvantages. Web-based are lower cost to distribute them. All you have to do is have a browser. You don't have to have any special software installed. We get increased access, and there's good evidence that decision support systems are used more when they're deployed over the web. Support and training costs are usually lower because people are familiar with the user interface, and we can provide very extensive capabilities. Sadly, people have very high expectations for web-based applications, sometimes unrealistic. And it's still very difficult and time-consuming to create good web-based decision support systems. That's why I focus on using VBA and Excel, because the development environment is much smaller scale than if you're going to work with web-based decision support. And any of you, well, working with your information systems development project, you've seen that a big web application, if you start from scratch, is a lot of work to conceptualize and to develop, and certainly it's a semester-long project if you've got a large application. We do have infrastructure problems. Some of those are going away. The web servers are more reliable, and we have a lot more people who have high-speed internet connections today. 10 years ago, we were always concerned about bandwidth, and lots of people would be dialing up at 2400 baud. But today, high-speed internet connections are in Starbucks coffee houses, in hotel rooms. So we can expect that most people who work for corporations or large organizations would be able to get a high-speed internet connection. So we can have much richer interfaces and much more graphical interfaces that you need high-speed connections for. And then taking out the trash, especially with document-driven and report-oriented, data-driven sites, we get an accumulation of old documents and old reports. So we either have to attach some metadata that says this data expires at this time, or we need to find some other mechanisms to get people to clean up the obsolete documents or reports that get generated from data-driven DSS. So my conclusions. Web-based DSS can provide a competitive advantage, especially if they're inward-facing. External-facing, inter-organizational systems, your competitors see them so quickly that they're going to imitate it if it's a good idea. Cost advantages, much cheaper to deploy web-based applications than client-server applications where you have to have a lot of software on the client to run the application. Speed for development and deployment is faster. Improved decision-making, it all depends on how good the application is that you create. It's like any decision support system. If you create a bad web-based decision support system, it could actually negatively impact the quality of decision-making. Deploy globally, yes. Right now we can get good internet access in over 200 countries. Improve profitability, maybe. It says yes, but again, it depends on how good the application is and whether we motivate people to use it. Slide 23 just goes over a few questions. I do encourage you to take a look at the review questions for Chapter 11, and I encourage you to look at the JavaScript examples that are on the website. Are there questions?